legal experts describe the sentence as exceptionally light for Paul Manafort. Would you agree?
No question. I mean, given the sentencing guideline range, the judge didn't just go below the range. He went far below the range, and there's not a lot of reason for the judge to do that. I mean, here you have a defendant who didn't accept responsibility for his actions, went to trial and lost, and in the course of his release in a related case in the District of Columbia, he violated his conditions of bond, tried to engage in witness tampering, and so forth. So very much a lot of signs that would point to a sentence that might be at the high end of the sentencing guideline range, much less, not one that would be much below. So very unusually light sentence. And what I would expect to see is Judge Jackson in that District of Columbia case to impose a sentence consecutive to this one that would lengthen his time in prison somewhat.
And the second judge will have complete authority as to whether or not that is the case?
That is correct. And so she can impose a sentence of up to 10 years. And the question is, you know, how long will that sentence be? You know, you could imagine anything from a sentence of, you know, 3 to 5 years up through 10 years. I would expect her to do something at the higher end of that range. She is, unlike Judge Ellis, who's expressed many times his concern or his upsetment with the Mueller team and what they were doing, Judge Jackson, I think, has been more upset at Paul Manafort for violating her orders and her conditions of bond. So I would be very surprised if she took a lenient approach to Paul Manafort.
So we need to talk about the possibility of a pardon. If President Trump pardons Paul Manafort, it's only for the federal crimes, correct?
That's right. Now, so obviously, some of the crimes that Paul Manafort had been charged with don't have a state equivalent. In other words, for example, a failing to register as a foreign agent is a federal crime but not a state crime. But many of the crimes that he was charged with do have a state equivalent. So committing fraud is also a state crime. Evading your taxes can be done both at the federal level and the state level. Usually people who engage in tax fraud defraud both the federal and state governments. So there are state equivalents. It's not a guarantee that those state prosecutors are going to be able to put together a case and charge Manafort. So if I was Manafort's attorney, I'd want the pardon. But nonetheless, it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for Mr. Manafort. It's just a get-out-of-jail-free card for those federal charges.
Okay, I have what is probably a very naive question, but in terms of today's sentencing, is there any recourse for prosecutors if they really feel that the sentence is out of whack with what it should have been?
Yes, there is. They can appeal the sentence. And it has happened, for example, when I was a federal prosecutor, we prosecuted Alderman Edward Doliak, who was a man who was engaged in corruption, and he got a sentence of probation from the judge, and he was ultimately reversed by the Court of Appeals. But it literally takes a sentence like that, where a man is engaged in corruption, gets a sentence of probation to get a sentence reversed. Federal sentencing judges have a broad degree of discretion, and as a result, what that means is that your sentence, and in many ways the justice that you receive, depends a lot on which judge you receive. That's unfortunate. That's not necessarily the way it should be. But we used to have a system that gave judges much less discretion, and that was unjust for different reasons, because judges couldn't take into account the individualized sentences that people had, the circumstances that they had, to fashion a sentence that fit that person. Now, of course, what we have is way too much variance.